All right. In our study of a biblically ordered home, we have been over the last several weeks considering the whole area of the climate of the home. And we've been thinking about the air, the spiritual and emotional air that we breathe in our homes as to whether or not it is beneficial or it is harmful to those who are a part of our families. And as we have considered this together, we have said that the climate of our home should be marked by sincerity and transparency. We also made mention that our home should be marked by love, warmth, unity, and goodwill. And last week, we began to think specifically about the relationships that are found in our home. We mentioned the fact that there's the relationship of a husband and a wife. There's the relationship of a parent to a child. There's the relationship of a child to a parent. And there's also the relationship of a child to a child if the family has more than one. So there are these relationships that exist in a home. And how we react and relate to one another also very much affects the climate of our home. And last week we noticed together that one of the key relationships in a home with regard to influencing and affecting the environment is the relationship between a husband and a wife. That's one of the key relationships. And if a husband and wife's relationship is what it ought to be, one that is marked by warmth, by closeness, by peace, by goodwill, if our relationship to our spouse is marked by those things, then the air that we breathe in our home is going to be beneficial as opposed to harmful. But if my relationship to my spouse is marked by tension, if it's marked by coldness, if it's marked by distance, if it's marked by ill will, that's going to have a harmful effect upon the climate of our home. And last week we took time to consider those things with regard to our relationship to our spouse. And so before we move on, because we took all the class time last week, I wanted to take a moment to see if there was any questions or comments that you would have with regard to the relationship of a husband and wife and that climate of warmth, closeness, peace, or unity and goodwill. Were there any questions or any comments anyone had last week that we didn't get to? All right. Well, if there was, we've forgotten them, or you're just ready to move on. All right. Well, the next relationship we want to take up is the relationship of the parent to the child. The parent-child relationship in our homes. When it comes to this relationship, we must see that the climate is not harmful to our children. What type of relationship do you have to your children, those that live in your home? Now, I believe Paul was a realist. And Paul knew that there may be times in which that relationship, the parent-child relationship, could be marked by coldness, distance, tension, ill will. I believe Paul understood that, and therefore he gives us the admonition that he gives us in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 6. Colossians 3 and verse 21 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will lose heart." Paul was a realist and he knew that we would be vulnerable to having a relationship with our children that might cause them to lose heart. And He warns us against that and therefore admonishes us to do all that we can so that our relationship to our children is marked by a closeness, by a warmth, by goodwill, and by peace. Now again, we're talking about a pattern that exists. I'm sure anyone who's been a parent has known of those occasions where there may be tension between you and your child. But I trust that if there was tension between you and your child, you did what you could to see that tension done away with. Now, all of us have probably gone through that. I'm sure all of us who have been parents know there are times in which there was this distance that seemed to exist between you and your child. You just weren't relating to one another. You weren't talking to each other. But I trust we didn't allow it just to continue on without dealing with whatever the issues were that was causing this distance between me and my child. But I'm talking about homes in which there is this pattern, this longevity of coldness, of distance that exists between parent and child. When children go for a long period of time without having mom and dad speak to them or even commend them for something they have done. When the child seems to be sulking and not talking to the parents, not wanting to be open with them. I'm talking about long periods of time in which the child in the home feels as though he is unloved or she is unloved. Or she can't do anything right, or he can't do anything right, or mom and dad are always on our case, and there's just no real warm relationship between the parent and child. And I say to you, when that's the case over a long period of time, that creates a climate in the home that is more harmful and has a harmful effect upon those who live in that home. And so we want to do all that we can when our children are living in our homes to have a relationship with them, which is marked by those characteristics that we have mentioned in our study so far. Now, when it comes to parenting, we have a perfect example of what godly parenting looks like. Do you know that? Who's the perfect pattern or the perfect model or the perfect example of godly parenting? Anybody come to mind? I said perfect. What? Does somebody say something? God the Father. God the Father is a perfect pattern for proper parent-child relationship. And if He's the perfect pattern, then we must be like Him. And by His grace, we must seek to be like Him in our relationship to our children. Now you see, when it comes to universal holiness, God is the perfect pattern as our Father who's in heaven. Look over to Matthew chapter 5. Notice how it is put in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Especially we'll look at verse 48, but we'll start at verse 44. Matthew 5 and verse 44. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. So He gives us this principle. We're to love our enemies and pray for our enemies. And in doing so, as sons, we are like our Father. And he goes on to say, verse 45, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? He says, you listen, you ought to be a people that even love your enemies. Even show them kindness. God does that with the sun and with the rain. God shows kindness to those who are his enemies. And at the end of the day, if you only love those who love you, aren't you like the tax collectors? Aren't you like the sinners? But you want to be like your Father. You want to love and pray even for your enemies as your Father does. Verse 47. If you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? And then he says this. Therefore, you are to be perfect as who? Your heavenly Father is perfect. When it comes to universal holiness, when it comes to being a people that are righteous before God, he commends us to consider the Father, the Heavenly Father, and to be like Him. You are His sons. Be like Him, your Heavenly Father. It's interesting that God would identify Himself in this text as Father, who says, here's the moral standard for you children. Be like your Father. Now, that's true with regard to universal holiness. But now let's be more specific. More specifically, God is our perfect pattern in our parenting. Our parenting should reflect God's parenting. If we're going to be like our Father, then when it comes to our responsibility as parents, we ought to reflect what He is as a parent more specifically. Look over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Most of you are familiar with this word concerning discipline and fatherly discipline. Hebrews chapter 4. 12, I'm sorry, 4, starting at verse 4. Hebrews 12, starting at verse 4. You have not resisted to the point of shedding of blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. The Heavenly Father disciplines and He instructs. And we're exhorted not to regard lightly. Don't take it lightly when God disciplines you. Nor are you to faint when He instructs you. You're to listen. You're to give attention to His reproof. Verse 6. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. God's the Father. And He looks upon you as His child. and He deals with you as a parent will deal with a child. But, verse 8, but if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and are not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of the Spirit and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. All right, that's the earthly fathers. They disciplined us for a period of time, as they deemed best. But He, that is the Heavenly Father, disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in His holiness. You see, He makes this ongoing comparison between an earthly father who disciplines his son. He loves his son, and therefore he seeks to instruct his son. They have a relationship, and he wants to do that son good. And he compares that earthly father to the heavenly father who also disciplines his children. And if he's not disciplining you, then it's a sign that you're an illegitimate child and you're not even a son. In the same way, if we have a child who's running around and is just doing whatever he wants to do, and there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason, and he's just on his own, you're going to look at, does that kid have a parent? Does that kid have a father? The same way with spiritually, the Heavenly Father cares for His children. He is a Father who loves His children and doesn't want to see them running around and doing whatever they want to do without any restrictions, but He wants to see His children go by the way of holiness. Verse 11, all discipline for a moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. So in this passage, God is the perfect parent in training and nourishing His children. His parenting and human parenting are brought together that we may draw from Him and follow His example, so that our families are brought up in the same climate as God's family. What sort of climate does God the Father have with His children? That's the climate we ought to be pursuing as we have a relationship to our children. What's the relationship that God has with His sons? It's an example that we ought to want to follow in our relationship to our sons. What does godly parenting look like, and what should this relationship be like with regard to the climate? Well, here's God. Let's see what He is to His children so that we can pattern ours and reflect our relationship to His and His children. And so the question we would ask is, what is the climate that God has with His children? And so as we look at the Scriptures, we can ask the question, is God's relationship to His children one of coldness, tension, one of distance, one of ill will? Well, I think if you look in the Scriptures, God's relationship to His children, such characteristics are foreign in that relationship. But the fact of the matter is, as we look in the Scriptures, we will find the opposite is true in God dealing with His children. God's relationship to His children is one of closeness, of warmth, of peace, and of goodwill. Isn't that true? Well, we're going to look at it here in a minute, so I trust you'll say it's true. But the Scripture says God's relationship to His children, the climate of that relationship, is not one of tension, distance, but one of peace and warmth and goodwill. And that's what we should desire with our relationship to our children. All right, so we're going to look at those together this morning. But are there any questions, anything before we move to that? All right. Let's start with the area of warmth. The area of warmth. Now, some may want to substitute the word love, and that's fine. I think people have their own definition of love, you know. Someone can be very stern and very harsh and say they're doing it out of love. Warmth seems to indicate something much closer. And so the relationship that we're talking about now is that of warmth towards one another, as opposed to coldness. You know, I trust you know what I mean. I mean, you have relationships with people and you say, man, they're so cold, you know. Instead of, oh, there's real warmth in this relationship. You know the difference. Well, God's relationship to His children is one of warmth. Let's look at some text. Look over to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63. We'll look primarily at verses 8 and 9, but we'll begin there at verse 7. I shall make mention of the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which He has granted them according to His compassion, and according to the abundance of His loving kindness. So here the writer says, let me talk to you about God. And as he thinks about God, he says, let me talk to you about His loving kindness. He is a kind God. In fact, later on in the verse, he refers to it as abundance of His loving kindness. God shows kindness to His children. And then here in this passage, he said he's also a God who is known for His great goodness and His compassion. The writer's saying, as I think of my God, I think of a God who is abounding in loving kindness. He's abounding in great compassion. He's a merciful God. He's a good God. That's what he thinks of. And then someone says, why? Why does God show that to us? Notice what it says in verse 8. For He said, surely they are my peoples, my people, sons who will not deal falsely, so that He became their Savior. Why does He show this goodness and this kindness and this mercy and this compassion? Because we are His sons. He has this relationship, this warm, and these are terms that demonstrate warmness. And He says we have this relationship because we're His sons. In all their afflictions, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. I mean, He's so concerned about us that when we go through afflictions, He says, I'm afflicted. When you so love someone that when they go through trials, you go through those trials with them, even though you may not be a part of it. But that's my son. I mean, one of the most trying times was when my son went through the academy. And as he went through the police academy, when he would call home and he would say about all that was going on, I mean, I felt that deeply. I wanted to rescue him from that. I didn't say, "Oh, son, suck it up. Didn't you volunteer for this? Are you kidding me? Don't call me. Don't be calling me whining. Just get in there and get it done." No, when he would call and say, "Man, it is so tough. It is so difficult. I want to quit." I mean, there was something within me at the times I wanted to say, just quit, son. But you want to be sympathetic. You feel their pain in a real way as they go through afflictions. And that's why God says, "Listen, when my children hurt, I hurt with them." That's the relationship that I have with my sons. Notice it goes on there in verse 9. "In His love and in His mercy, He redeemed them and He lifted them and He carried them all the days of old." So you get this picture of this guy who comes along and says, "Man, you're wore out. And here, let me carry you. Let me carry you and get you through this." He so cared for them. Now, if you read on from 11, or from verse 10 down to verse 15, we find that there was some rebellion going on. And what does God do? He disciplines them. And they go through this discipline because of their rebellion. Yes, He loves them and He cares for them. And He hurts when they hurt. And He wants to carry them, as it were, as they go through trials. But He also recognizes that when they rebel, there's the need for discipline, forceful admonition. And that's what they've experienced. That's what's talked about there in verses 10 through verse 14. And then we come to verse 15, and He says this: "Look down from heaven and see from your holy and glorious habitation. Where are your zeal and your mighty deeds? The stirring of your heart and the compassions are restrained towards me. For you are our Father. And though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not recognize us, you, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from old. And from old is your name." You know what He's saying? He's saying, "Man, you've disciplined us. And that's hurt. That's not been a pleasant thing." But in some ways He was saying this: "But you're our Heavenly Father, and that's not like you. And though all of Israel may forsake us, though Abraham doesn't know us and Israel doesn't recognize us, we have a relationship with you in which such discipline almost seems out of the ordinary. Because you are our Father." Now, discipline was necessary. But for the writer, it was though, "Man, we've always had this warm relationship with one another. And for you to come down hard upon us, boy, that just doesn't seem like you. Because you are our Father." You see, it's wonderful to know, even in the midst of discipline, that at the end of the day, you know your Heavenly Father cares for you. Isn't it? I mean, there are times when you may go through periods in which the Father must discipline you because of your own rebellion. But as a son, you know at the end of the day, He does care about you. And even though it's a hard thing to go through, it's a wonderful thing to have the confidence that He is a Father of pity, of warmth, even when His chastening hand seems to hide His compassion. Because there are times when the Father may discipline us and we may say, where's this compassion at? We may not see it, but this we can know. The Father does love me. Even when He disciplines me. I know that. That's the relationship the Son has to the Father. And so you bring that to the area of parenting. And aren't there times when as parents, we've got to discipline our children? And it isn't pleasant. And sometimes our children may look at us, and especially when they were younger, they may look at us and say, you don't love me. If you love me, you would let me have my computer back. If you love me, why would you spank me? But deep down they know, and hopefully they know, you do love them. And because of whatever action they took, you've had to discipline them. You haven't enjoyed that discipline. It's not something that you went to with a smile on your face, saying, oh, I get to spank my child today. No, no. It's with grief and sadness that such discipline has to take place. But never, never does that child deep down ever think, I know my mom or dad doesn't love me. They know even in the midst of those seasons, my Father loves me. And it was our practice in our home that every time there had to be corporate discipline that took place before it was all over, there was always the expression of love, always the embrace that took place. But there are some children that all they hear from their parents is discipline, discipline, discipline. Rebuke and they wonder, does mommy really love me? Does daddy really care about me? You see, we should develop a climate in our homes so that even in the midst of discipline, they know that we love them. And there's warmth in that home. Look over to 66, Isaiah 66. In verse 13. It's interesting. Here God compares Himself to a mother. Now God is a father. God is a male. Right? There are some who will take this passage and say that God doesn't have a gender. Well, God is a father. But He's not ashamed to say, when it comes to my relationship to my children, I'm not embarrassed to use the analogy of a mother. You know, there's something about a mother's care. You know, I mean, there's just something about a mother's comfort. If my children want comforting, they don't run to me immediately. They run to their mother. And here in 66 and verse 13 says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. So here's the imagery. Here's the child that's running into the house. Mommy, mommy. And mommy comes up and he's got tears coming down his face. Oh, mommy. And mommy grabs him. What's wrong, dear? What's wrong? And he begins to talk to her, but he can't get control. And she just loves on him some more. And finally, she gets him settled down. What happened? Well, we were playing football and Johnny jumped on me because I had the ball and he hurt my foot and my foot hurts and mommy just takes that foot and rubs it. You know, dads, we'd say, well, get back out there and run with that ball. Don't let him catch you. No, mom's, she just comforts him, kisses him on the cheek. She wants to take care of him. And God says, I'm like a mother to my children. And I want to comfort them. I want to take care of them. God tells us, as a mother comforts her children, I have that type of relationship with my children. One of warmth, compassion, love. Now, are we like God in our relationship to our children? do we seek to cultivate and maintain a climate of warmth with our children, as opposed to coldness? Here's a challenging question. Would you like God to be the kind of parent that you are towards your children? Would you like God to be a parent to you like you are towards your children? Would you like your children to conceive the heart of God in the way they conceive your heart? In other words, would you like your children, when they hear God is a father, do your children immediately think, oh man, that means coldness. He doesn't care about me. Because when I think of my father, I think of someone who is sort of cold in his relationship to me. There's no real compassion. There's no real showing of love. There's no real comforting. When it comes to my mother tends to be more of one who's always on my case. She doesn't really love on me or care about me. She just doesn't want to be embarrassed. And so she's always making sure that I'm doing everything she wants me to do so she's not embarrassed. She doesn't really care about me. If your children thought of God in the same way they thought of you as a parent, does that bring delight to your heart? Our parenting should reflect God's parenting. And He parents in a relationship of warmth towards His children. And so should we. Well, we have other things to consider. I'll take a minute. Is there any questions or comments? We'll look at the others' closeness and others, God willing, next week. Any questions or comments with regard to that? All right, let's pray together. Father, we pray that You would help us to have a climate in our homes, especially in relationship to our children, that is marked by warmth. That our children would know that we care for them, and that we love them, and we desire good for them. And so, Father, help us, we pray, by Your grace, to be those sort of parents. We pray that You would meet with us in the worship service and draw near to us. May Your name be exalted in all that is said and done. And we'll give You the glory as we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.